Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The theme of today's podcast is that cognitive decline and progression to dementia and Alzheimer's disease is not inevitable, even if you may carry some of the risky genes. These days, I'm doing some extensive genetic testing in my practice on patients who want to be informed of their potential risk for Alzheimer's, cardiovascular disease, and so on. And we see some patients who have high-risk genes. But here's a study. It's done at the University of Exeter and was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, also presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference this year in Los Angeles. And the research found that the risk of dementia was 32% lower, even in people with a high genetic risk, if they'd followed a healthy lifestyle, compared with those who had an unhealthy lifestyle. And we can go beyond the usual verities of adequate sleep, making sure you don't smoke, keeping a healthy weight, getting on a good Mediterranean diet, exercising. Okay, fine. Those are things we all should be doing. We can further increase our portfolio against cognitive decline by taking specific nutrients. And that's what our guest today is talking about. He's Neil Levin. He's Senior Nutrition Education Manager for Protocol for Life Balance, which is the physician brand of Now Vitamins. They're a great brand. Neil, you just tell us a little bit about the company, first of all, because these days there's a trend among some of these companies to be absorbed by big conglomerates like Nestle's and some of the pharmaceutical companies are even buying vitamin and supplement brands. This is a small, closely held company, correct?
Yeah, we're not that small. We're over $500 million in sales a year for our total company.
Okay.
And we're in 70 countries. We have about 1,400 products. So we're actually considered the largest private family-owned business in the natural products industry. And what's great about that is we're a debt-free company. We're 51 years old. We can make decisions based on what's good for the company and not what's good for the stock price or the outside investors, because we don't have either one. So we can make long-term decisions. We have 200 people working in our quality control and regulatory departments out of about 1,500 employees. I mean, we really put our money where our mouth is. Our lab facilities are estimated about $100 million investment.
That's to test the products. Like, you get a batch of some material, and they say that this is whatever, 95% curcuminoids, and you test it just to make sure that they're being honest and that there are no contaminants.
Yeah, we not only test it, but we test it better than most people. Because, for example, we're one of a handful of places in the world that can differentiate the toxic versus non-toxic arsenic forms.
Okay.
Where we can test for twice as many pesticides as the EPA can, and at far lower levels, and finding it in materials where it's normally hidden by the matrix of the botanical, the fats, the proteins, the pigments, various things that normally hide it, we can actually see through that and find pesticides in there. Every raw material is tested for heavy metals, identity, microbiological contamination, known adulterants and contaminants. You know, we're very, very strict in testing.
So, you know, I rely a lot on the Protocol for Life Balance for my patients. They're, of course, on our website at Fullscript. Fullscript is where you can go and access some of these products. Go check out drhoffmanstore.com or go to drhoffman.com and click on the store button. And if you register for FullScript, you'll be entitled to access products there. There are some very fine products. And again, you know, in full disclosure, I'm very eclectic. I have a lot of different products there. I'm not just all in for Protocol for Light Balance. I use many, many different manufacturers, but they're really among my favorites. And their Cogumin product that we talked about in part one is my favorite for brain health when it comes to curcumin. So another thing we want to talk, another brain nutrient that we want to talk about, and it's, you know, we talk a lot about fish oil benefits for brain and B vitamins, and we talk about, you know, coenzyme Q10. We've talked about nicotinamide riboside for brain. We just, of course, talked about curcumin, and, you know, there's vitamin D, and on it goes. But one that we kind of underestimate for brain function is magnesium. Can you give us the story on magnesium's relationship to brain function?
Sure. Magnesium is a nutrient that we always see a figure. It's responsible for over 300 reactions in the body. And the latest figure I saw is something around estimate about 360 different things it does in the body. One of the things it does, by the way, is convert the omega-3 in plants like flax, chia, hemp, in walnuts into EPA and DHA.
Oh, I didn't know that. Was that delta-60 saturase?
Exactly. That's a magnesium-dependent enzyme.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so, the brain
our population, which is so terribly magnesium deficient, we actually make our omega-3 deficiency worse because of our magnesium deficiency.
Precisely, yes. Huh. So magnesium is needed for the cellular metabolism in the brain, including normal nervous system function. It helps regulate the neurons and the synapses, the gaps between them and the structure of the neuron. And we've all heard about things like monosodium glutamate, MSG, causing headaches and problems in the brain. Magnesium is one of the things that prevents that.
Mm-hmm. It has a calmative effect. Those are neuroexcitatory things. You know, according to Russell Blaylock, you know, the neuroexcitatory theory of brain deterioration is like you're jazzing your brain with MSG and aspartame and things like that. Eventually, your brain circuits burn out. And magnesium tamps that down, kind of keeps that under control.
Yeah, magnesium, vitamin C, some of the tocotrienols. There's a few things that actually help prevent and reduce that reaction, the excitotoxic reaction, they call that. Hmm. So to stabilize and allowing the adaptability of the neurons to adjust to stresses and to reform, to protect themselves and everything, requires magnesium. So different forms of magnesium can cross the blood-brain barrier, but when they test them and compare them, they find that the magnesium L-threonate, which threonic acid is a substance that people might be familiar with, if ester C, for example, is based on vitamin C bonded to this material. Oh, uh-huh. And in the same way, this is a highly absorbable form of magnesium. And they've studied it and compared different forms of magnesium going through the blood-brain barrier, because they actually sample the cerebral spinal fluid to see the magnesium, and it absorbs better than magnesium chloride, magnesium citrate, uh-huh, magnesium bisglycinate, or magnesium gluconate, which are all
even the
the
other high-quality chelated magnesiums that are a little more the premium magnesiums, because of course, you know, kind of cheap generic magnesium is magnesium oxide. Very poorly absorbed magnesium citrate. If you need a laxative, take those. They'll run right through you, but they won't be that well absorbed. Those don't test as well as magnesium threonate in terms of uptake by the brain.
Right. So, and magnesium's handled a little differently than in the past the blood-brain barrier in the central nervous system than in the rest of the body. You have more magnesium in the spinal fluid and the cerebral fluid, same thing, then in the blood plasma. There's an active transport process.
So it's concentrated
into the brain. Yeah. So which one gets into the brain better? This is actually something that the smart folks at MIT came up with, just like we talked earlier about the folks at UCLA coming up with different form of curcumin. Scientists specialize and look at these various areas. And just like getting curcumin into the brain, getting magnesium in the brain helps with being able to form DHA, which is a major constituent of the brain, with its action on enzymes, helping to preserve and maintain the nervous system and the neurons in particular, and inhibiting the glutamate activities and these things that can actually damage neurons.
So a lot of people, I think, are aware because of slick marketing that taking a little magnesium before bedtime can have a calming effect. And in fact, there's a product, it's called Calms, and it's a magnesium product. And what type of magnesium is used in that?
They actually use a non-chelated magnesium. They use a magnesium and citric acid combined. So they'll use a magnesium carbonate, for example, with citric acid. And then you'll see it fizz up in the bottle when you mix it
up.
Which is
satisfying. And, I mean, there's certainly got to be a placebo effect there, and it has a nice orangey flavor. And so maybe, it has a calmative effect because you believe it's going to have a calmative effect. But is it plausible that that magnesium is going to be very well absorbed into the brain since it's that inferior, less bioavailable form?
Well, not only that, but it's an imperfect combination of the citric acid with the magnesium. It's mimicking what happens during digestion, where you attach these weak acids to a mineral like magnesium, making a citrate or an ascorbate or things like that. Uh-huh. And it's simply nobody knows how much of this actually reacts and becomes the better absorbed citrate form. So it's likely there's still some of the citric acid. And if it tastes acidic, it's still got some free citric acid that is not bonded to the magnesium, which means the magnesium is still in alkaline form. That's not going to be well absorbed.
So let me tell you from my experience about the power of magnesium, and it actually comes from my experience with intravenous magnesium. I use a lot of intravenous magnesium during my career. And one of the things about intravenous magnesium is that you can actually check a patient's reflexes to determine if they have low magnesium. If you tap them on the knee and their leg shoots out, they're probably low in magnesium. This is actually, there's some standard tests that test what's called the Chvostik's reflex, which is a cheek tap. It's a little hard to do. We doctors know how to elicit that reflex, but that shows that patients have very low magnesium. And when we infuse magnesium, we can literally, within a half an hour, go by the patient and tap them on the knee, and they will have a much diminished reflex, almost to the point where they have no reflex. The excitability of their nervous system is very much dampened down by the magnesium. And that, to me, is a real testimony to the potency of magnesium as a nervous system calmative.
Yeah, also for the muscles, though, let's not forget, because calcium helps muscles contract and magnesium helps them uncontract, relax. You need both for the heart, for the other muscles. And so it's kind of understandable. You've got a knee-jerk reaction if you're over calcium versus magnesium too much, then you might not be able to control that as well.
Okay, and remind us of the statistics, because I think among all the nutrients, whether it be zinc or B12 or vitamin C, I think in terms of the population-wide statistics, magnesium deficiency ranks just about at the top in terms of national statistics, correct?
Yeah, typically, as much as half of the population, according to Science Daily last year, is estimated to be consuming a magnesium deficient diet.
And what could be the consequences in terms of some of the problems that we're seeing?
Well, it's not just half the population being deficient, but the standard diet contains only half of the recommended amount.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not getting
that, refined foods, junk foods, virtually no magnesium.
Right. So then it doesn't help you with your muscles and relaxing and your heart function and your brain function. And if you're a vegetarian and you don't get enough magnesium, you're not going to convert those fats into omega-3s. You're more likely to have inflammation and brain fog, and you know, there's other issues associated with this as well.
Could anxiety be a symptom of magnesium deficiency? And because since that's such a pervasive problem among the patients that I see,
That's quite possible. I actually take magnesium 3 times a day, and I take the magtein material, the 3 and 8 material we're talking about, in the evening to calm me down for bedtime.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, knowing it gets in the brain, knowing it calms the neurons and helps them adapt to stresses. If you have something that's anti-stress, obviously you're going to be able to calm down more, relax, settle down, and be able to get a good night's sleep. If you don't sleep, you're not going to be healthy.
Okay. And what about magnesium side effects? Because some people experience loose bowel movements, urgency, when they take magnesium. Is this a type of magnesium that's a little less likely to cause GI symptoms?
Right, because when you're getting kind of a loose stool from magnesium, the classic example would be Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate.
Right.
It's the magnesium that's not absorbed. Yeah. The magnesium that's not absorbed is relaxing muscles in the digestive tract and creating the laxative effect.
And bringing
the
water.
The better absorbed the magnesium, the less laxative effect it has.
And it also has an osmotic effect. It draws the water into the GI tract, and you just, you know, watch out. By the way, I use magnesium for some of my patients with constipation. I usually suggest the magnesium citrate because it's a pretty good laxative. And some patients have to take 2, 4, 6, 8, but, you know, try that on a weekend before you go to work because you're liable to see some pretty robust results. And that's because it's not that well absorbed. It goes out in the stool. Less likely to happen with protosorb magnesium, which is actually that's the brand name of the Protocol for Life Balance magnesium 3 and 8, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Protosorb magnesium. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, protosorb. So, this is something that, again, they've done studies to show that the magnesium not only calms, but it has benefits in terms of memory and learning, that the calm brain, the brain with healthy neurons and adaptable neurons, is more likely to function normally.
Right. So there, with the magnesium, I guess there are some long-term benefits, but there may be more immediate benefits in terms of quick response in terms of mood, energy, focus, performance, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do measure the effects of cognitive function using magtein, magnesium 3 and 8. So knowing that it is actually a potential brain-restoring effect, that the brain can be adaptive. It can... If you go back 20, 30 years, I'm sure you remember this, Dr. Hoffman, people used to think the brain had a finite number of neurons and cells when you were born, and that the brain develops, and they now know, to about age 25.
Right.
And then they thought it would decline. If you lost brain cells, they were gone forever.
Right. This is the subject of endless conversations in college. Usually on Sunday mornings when we woke up late, kind of hungover, and we'd say, how many brain cells did we, inalterably destroy last night? And the good news is that, while the kind of behavior is not really conducive to brain function, there's still hope. There's what's called neuroplasticity. There's neuroregeneration. That's the new frontier of neurology.
Yeah, so knowing that the brain is somewhat adaptive, that it's somewhat restorative, that you can maintain things longer if you can control the inflammatory and oxidative challenges, this is important stuff that we've really only been looking at for probably the last 20 years or so.
What else do you like for brain function? We've talked about the product Cogumin, and we talked about protosorb magnesium. What about things like, you know, coenzyme Q10, ginkgo biloba? What are some of the other cognitive enhancers that you might throw into the mix?
Yeah, coenzyme Q10 is good for energy in general, and there's a lot of energetics associated with the brain. I would look also at coconut oil and MCT, one of the fractions of coconut oil, that have been shown to have some pretty good effects on brain function. And they've shown in studies, for example, in the Midas trial, omega-3 supplements boosting memory in healthy aging adults age 55 and older. They took the DHA. The higher the level of DHA, the better the score on the test. For MCT oil, they showed that it tends to be associated with energy in the brain, medium chain triglycerides, which represent between 12 and 17% of the fat in coconut oil. But you can get MCT
somewhat,
by itself.
Mimic the effects of a ketogenic diet?
Yes. Medium chain triglycerides are metabolized into ketone bodies.
Right.
They're an alternate source of energy for the brain. And ketones counteract the effects of impaired energy in the brain if you don't have enough energy in the brain. And so, you know, there's a lot of research on that going on now to try to determine exactly how that works. But just like it is a source of ketones for the brain, if you don't have sugar in the brain, ketones are the preferred source. If you don't have either, you're going to break down muscle to get fuel. And that's not desirable.
Right. Vinpocetine some of these, you know, huperzine, do some of these things have plausibility for brain function?
Yeah, when one of the main neurotransmitters is acetylcholine.
Right.
And acetylcholine is made from sources of choline, which is a B vitamin-related compound. And they just set an RDA for that recently, like in the last year or so. And choline is in eggs. It's in B-complex vitamins. You can get it as part of lecithin. But also, there are some advanced forms like alpha-GPC or citicoline, which is another brand name, that are sources that will cross the blood-brain barrier and be able to be converted into acetylcholine, this neurotransmitter. Now, if you take one of the lecithin compounds called phosphatidylserine, that actually stimulates the production of acetylcholine and the release of acetylcholine. And huperzine A, which you mentioned, is an extract from Chinese club moss that prevents the breakdown of acetylcholine by enzymes.
It works a little like Aricept in that sense, like a popular anti-Alzheimer's medication.
Right, and if you can maintain levels of acetylcholine, all your scores for brain function, memory, learning, daily activity scores for healthy subjects, not just patients who are sick, all tend to improve.
Any buzz on Bacopa as a cognitive enhancer? That's talked about a lot.
Yes, but Bacopa is something we actually came out recently in the Now line, and it's something that is, again, it's supposed to cross the blood-brain barrier, help nervous system health by supporting free radical protective systems or antioxidant type mechanisms in the brain, which, as the National Institute on Aging has said, that's one of the main challenges to the brain as we age, is oxidative as well as inflammatory.
Okay, well, there's lots to cogitate over, because there are many options. Check out our article, Enhanced Brain Function with Magnesium and Curcumin, on our website at drhoffman.com. And Neil, where can people get more information about Protocol for Life Balance?
There's a webpage, protocolforlife.com, and that would be a great place to get information. We show all the formulas and what's in them, the the known allergens, suggested usage, cautions, all that would be available on the webpage.
Okay. Well, as usual, you're very cognitively intact, and you've helped us along with a complex subject. So thanks again. Neil Levin is Senior Nutrition Education Manager for Protocol for Life Balance and also Now Vitamins. And you can access Protocol for Life Balance products via our website at drhoffman.com. Just click on the store or go to drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks, Neil, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Doctor.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.